Well, we cut to part D, which is the final part for Sunday's presentation, with the E to come later, after Wednesday morning, after we see what the election results are, as it turns out. Nothing too much has gone on in this chart here, except I bring your attention to the fact that the volume oscillator, this is updated to Friday, you know, is under the zero line. It can't get through the cash buildup line, so it's very unlikely that it's ever going to break above the zero line now. That leaves that pattern in a ledge pattern where it's going to roll off and drop. It's not likely to develop into a rising bottoms pattern, which is the other thing you have to always calculate. But even if it was a rising bottoms pattern and you came up on Monday, you still run to the cash buildup line, and so that would be somewhat of a problem. What you're looking for here, and I don't know, if you look at that pattern, then you go up to look at the red bars in the S&P 500, you can see that it's no longer going up to the red line. That also is a possibility on the upside. But if you tail off here and you don't follow through Monday, Tuesday, okay, that thing is rolling over. You had a cycle reversal, an inverted cycle from B and time span between B and C. It's made its top, and it's going to come down to the normal correction low, which is now getting to be around the target number is now 1140 in the mid-channel area, and it's like a 2 or 3% decline, but it'll smack hard when it does it. And so you should be on top of that, so to some degree of defensibility. Eventually, the cash buildup line is going to go continue to go down, and we will get to the null echo low. The null echo low cannot move. It's the construction of the 13th advanced decline T, where you put the center post in the early March low, and you get the early June 07 top. And when you compute it out, it's always been a low, and so you get chopped down into there. When you come out of that one, what you're going to run into is all these insiders have been selling, and it's an early indicator, but it's a right indicator for the long term. And that T will not be able to take off on the upside. You find out there's other problems later on. But I would say the drop off the ledge is where you first see the problem, because it's not normal to get something to break down. If it gets down to the normal correction low, you should have a rebound back up. So you can get rid of things if you get caught by surprise on that one. However, generally speaking, it's the precursor of the eventual decline into the null echo low. And you just see the first bounce, and a lot of frustrated bulls, they'll buy this and send it back up, and then when you go over, you're in trouble. So it's better if you anticipate that the ledge pattern is somehow coming before it springs its first surprise on you on the downside. So that's all we have to say that one. Now, relative to the next week, we're going to do an update on Wednesday, and we won't really know that much what's happening, because we'll know the election results, but you don't know what the market's reaction. And besides, the market is not really interested in the election results, because they really want to know what the Federal Reserve is doing. And so when you go back to this argument, the person that owns long-term treasury bonds and then you get this PIMCO argument that they're going to do this quantitative easing, and they're going to like unleash tremendous inflation. The bonds are going to rise, long-term treasuries are going to rise in yield, and that means the price is going to decline, and they're all going to get into this horrible situation which only they can save you from. You have to remember the thing is that the Federal Reserve isn't going to do that, okay? The first priority is not to cause runaway inflation. The second thing is that they want to ease the money off to try to get out of the mess they're in, which incidentally they help to cause. Okay, but they're not going to do anything drastic to cause runaway inflation, because they'd be probably hung for that one. You know, that's the primary oath that they've taken is not to let runaway inflation. So the argument that you're going to have if you own treasury bonds, they don't have to worry to cringe that the Federal Reserve is going to come up with some cockamamie scheme that's going to cause inflation to go off the top side. So you have to, you know, apply some common sense. Just because they made a mistake before doesn't mean they're going to make a bigger mistake by letting the inflation go on the upside. So that sort of stuff will blow over. When you go into the null deco low, you could get surprised on the Treasury bonds to find out that it sort of depends on what happens there. But if there's great fear of something happening, it's possible, based on the gold analysis, that they will buy gold. Okay. And if there's fear, they could turn out to buy the Treasury bonds, too. So, you know, you don't want to give up on that story there. Just because the insiders want to get out of common stocks is a warning that there's something coming on, and they only got two alternatives, and the two alternatives that make sense are either gold or bonds. So if you got a mixture, you don't have to worry about it, and paranoia is developing because you read about these things with the Treasury bonds. You don't want to believe that stuff because the Federal Reserve is not irresponsible. Okay? So that's it for this Sunday. Back on Wednesday with whatever we can do for make a judgment of what we see on Wednesday. But the big thing will be when we come back next Sunday for a regular update for T-theory observations, then we'll probably be able to really start to see some fluctuations in the chart, which gives us a whole new set of departures for the drop into the null deco low. Thanks for checking in, and don't forget, if you want to check out the little update on Wednesday, we're there. And if I get we're posting anything else that Parker's posting, I'll add it to the list at the bottom. Bye-bye.